Let's go to Psalm 119. Today we're going to look at a subject that, you know, is going to be part of our camp, but I just thought I would do a little bit on it today. And you know, of course, our subject for camp is trust in the Lord, but it's with all your heart. And I thought I'd look at heart, because heart is a big deal. It's an important thing in the Word of God. And we're going to see what the Word says about our heart. As most of you know, the word heart, although it is the word that pertains to the physical heart, many times, most times in the word, it's referring to the center of your being, the what makes you you, the depths of your mind, you know, however you want to describe it. We use it figuratively in English all the time, like if somebody does something and they do it half-heartedly, we say half-heartedly, or we say he didn't do it with all his heart. You know, we use it like that. We say we have a broken heart. Well, your heart, unless you had a heart attack, isn't broken like that, is it? It's what's in your mind and the center of your being. In verse 2 of Psalm 119, it says, blessed, and the word blessed there is the word happy. Happy are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And, you know, with the whole heart, with your whole inner being, means you're really giving a great effort, right? You know, when somebody does something and they really do a great job, we say, boy, he really had a lot of heart for that. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to seek him with a whole heart. Not part of our heart, not half-heartedly, not just, you know, as a whim or, yeah, well, I got to read the word today, blah, blah, blah. Or whenever we are doing for God or studying the word or praying or whatever, it should be with all our heart. God bless you. Did you catch it from Millie? So it says, seek him with a whole heart. In verse 10, it also says, God bless you again. If you do that again, you're going to have to leave. Okay. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Again, sought with a whole heart. The psalmist here said, I have sought thee with a whole heart. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And so in both cases, in both of these verses, the word is there in it. You know, he kept his testimonies, and here he doesn't want to wander from his word. He wants to keep his word. Okay, that's it.
You know, there's two more coming.
We'll go outside then. Okay. So anyway, it is critical to our life and our walk with God, you know, that we do it with heart, with our whole heart. And it says a lot of things about our heart throughout the Word. I mean, if you start studying it, it's like a whole page of verses in a concordance. You know, it's enormous. But we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to read some verses that most of you know. I say most because who knows? Somebody might be a slackard. But I think all of you know it. Chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 20, we're going to start. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. That's a good thing to do. You know, pay attention to God's words. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of what? Thine heart. In the midst, what it means the midst? It's the middle. You know, it's in the middle of your heart. It's not on the side, you know, not just on the periphery, but it's in the midst of your heart. for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Wow, that's a great promise, isn't it? Mm-hmm. People that find the word, it's life to them and it's health to all their flesh. The word health could be medicine. It's medicine to all their flesh. And then it says in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, guard, keep means to guard. It says, keep thy heart. Guard thy heart with what?
All diligence.
That means you're making an effort, a real concerted effort to guard your heart. Because the heart is the center of your life. And that's where the word really needs to dwell. That's where the word really needs to live. You know, there are lots of people that can rip off verse after verse. They have huge amounts of scripture memorized, but it doesn't live in their heart. It's not there. I don't know if any of you remember. There was a guy that ran the Soviet Union named Nikita Khrushchev. He was a Russian. He was communism is basically atheistic. They don't believe there's a God. They believe everything is material. Well, he used to brag that he had the Gospels memorized. But he didn't believe anything. You know, the word wasn't in his heart. It was just, you know, an academic exercise. You know, it's not just important to be able to rip off verses or say verses or, I've read the whole Bible 800 times, you know. That's great. But more importantly, is it in your heart? Do you keep it in your heart? And do you guard your heart? Do you keep that word there? You know, is it there all the time? What an important thing. Okay, let's go to Romans. And one of the greatest issues that we deal with in life, one of the reasons that I teach, one of the reasons that we should be concerned about the heart is because believing emanates from the heart. And believing is the most critical of all things in our lives. What's the point of the Bible? That you believe. You believe in God, you believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, you believe in redemption, you believe in the resurrection, you believe in the power of God. So what does it say in chapter 10, verse 9? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe where?
In the heart.
That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's from the heart. You know, that's why it is so critical and so important that we guard our heart with all diligence. That is why we need to bury that word into our heart and keep it there, to be diligent and vigilant with our heart, so that that word is there when you're confronted by the devil or you have a crisis. Is that word there for you to draw upon? Can God bring it up into your memory when you need it? It needs to be deep in your heart. It needs to be there all the time. So important. So we believe in the heart, deep in the depths of our mind. That's where we believe. So that's why the heart is so important, and that's why we need to keep that word in the midst, right? Let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 17. How did Jesus Christ deal with all the crap that he dealt with? You know, no matter where he went, no matter what he did, people weren't happy with what he said or did. If he healed somebody, they said, well, why'd you do it that way? Or why didn't you do it sooner? Or, you know, there was always a complaint. Or he did it on the wrong day. Or he did it to the wrong person. You know, it was never ending. Well, because the word was in his heart. It was there. It was buried deep. You know, how did the apostles, you know, carry on? Well, because that word was buried in their heart. You know, it wasn't always easy. It wasn't always roses. It wasn't always, you know, a vacation, was it? How did David go through all the crap that he went through in life? Saul hunted him down, threatened his life. Because we just read some of the Psalms, you know, and you read in Proverbs and Psalms, and it talks about the heart all over the place. Verse 17, chapter 6. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. And the word servants is doulos, means slaves of sin. But ye have obeyed from where?
The heart.
That's how you get born again, right? That form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made then free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Wow, what a great thing. What a great change. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Because you obeyed from the heart. It changed your life totally and completely. But you still have to keep that word in your heart. You know, you hear one time and you believe and you get all excited and you have that emotional whatever it is, right? But then, you know, life goes on, and if you don't stay on top of it, if you don't keep that word where it belongs, you know, you get lethargic, apathetic. Those are good words, huh? Lazy. And you can't allow yourself to do that. You can't afford to do it. Let's go to chapter 1, Romans. Verse 18. Okay, this is really cool because the first part of Romans talks about the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. In verse 16, it talks about the word of God is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and so on and so forth. And then verse 18 starts talking about the degradation of man, you know, how rotten man has been throughout history. And it's a pretty accurate description. And it's, you know, from the fall of man onward, anybody that's not born again, this really describes them to some degree or another. It says, for the wrath of God, you know what wrath is, right? Anger. The wrath of God really has to do with the judgment of God. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And, you know, you see that in the world all the time, don't you? The truth in unrighteousness. How many things does the world promote that is unrighteous? Well, you know, take your pick. Just open a newspaper, watch TV for about 10 minutes. Watch a movie, a TV show. And some of it's pretty subtle. Watch a commercial. It's promoting unrighteousness. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in him, for that God showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And, you know, if you take an honest look at nature, if you take an honest look at the universe, if you take an honest look at things that happen in this world that cannot be explained physically or scientifically, you know that there's something more there than just accidents or happenstance, or it's God. You know, God, there's an interesting thing. You can prove God many ways. You can prove him from the word. You can prove him from, you know, the universe or nature or lots of things, the incredible way everything is put together and so on. You can't disprove God. It's an impossibility. He's a spirit. You can't disprove him. So anybody says, well, I don't believe in God, and you say, okay, disprove him. They'll go, well, they may make up something, but it'll be stupid. Just will. So there with that excuse. Man has no excuse not to believe God. None whatsoever. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but because became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what?
Darkened.
Their foolish heart was darkened. See, where were they darkened? In their heart. You know, at first they let it get into their mind, then it sank down into their heart. That's what happened. That's the history of mankind, right? Just the way it goes. Well, we'll read on. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Read Darwin. The wisdom of man. We came from monkeys, which has been disproved and is actually, if the scientists were honest, it's a scientific impossibility. Evolution. Anyway. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God, uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The lust of their own hearts. You know, that's where lust emanates from, the heart. Pretty crazy, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creator or the creation. The word creature should be creation more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And we see that all over the place where man, you know, worships the creation as opposed to the creator or instead of the creator. What a wild thing. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. It all has to do with the heart. It all begins and ends with the heart. It's so, so important that we take care of our hearts, put the word in our heart and hold it there. Guard our heart. Be diligent about our heart. Be vigilant with our heart. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption or the sonship of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Yeah, God sent his Spirit into our hearts. The great work of the Spirit is to direct the heart. That's what it is. You know, it's God's Spirit teaches your Spirit teaches your mind. And it gets into your heart the more you allow it. What an incredible thing that he did for us. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then the heir of God. And the rest of it is not in the text. But that spirit of holiness, that spirit is in our hearts. In Exodus, it says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. You know, and if you read through it, the reason it was hardened was Moses kept telling him about Jehovah. And he said, you know, this is God's people, and God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he wants you to let his people go. And Pharaoh kept saying, okay, and then he would change his mind, you know. His heart was hardened because he didn't obey the word. When we don't obey the word, when we don't think the word, our hearts start to get hardened. It's just that simple. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. This is a prayer, chapter 3, starts in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, Lord Jesus Christ is not in the text, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. What's the inner man? The Spirit, right? What a great God that he would do that for us. That Christ might dwell where?
In your hearts
by believing. By believing that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, God wanted us to be strengthened with might, and he wanted Christ to dwell in our hearts. Wow, that means he lives there, right? He lives there. You know, he lives there, but sometimes we try to crush him, quell him, quiet him instead of listening to him. But that's where he lives. He lives in our hearts. In chapter 4, verse 17. Now, this is really interesting. This is the practical section of Ephesians. It says in verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk," or other Gentiles walk, "in the vanity of their mind." These people were Gentiles, and then, you know, they're no longer Gentiles, right? But he says, you don't have to walk like them. In other words, don't conduct your life like that anymore. Don't conduct your life like the Gentiles. "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of" what?
Their heart.
Their heart. You know, why are they screwed up? Because of the blindness of their heart. What do we read in Romans chapter 1? That natural man did. Well, what did the Greeks do? The Gentiles, they had all these different gods, right? They had hundreds of gods. They had all kinds of explanations for life and for nature and for, you know, all kinds of stuff. If you read the Greek philosophers, they had all kinds of wild stuff. They just did. They thought about everything. They discussed everything. And they came up with some wild, crazy ideas. And it's just the way it is. That's man's mind, if it's not disciplined by the Word of God, will go to places that you just don't want to go. You ever wonder about some of these guys that write these science fiction movies? Well, you know, it's pretty wild, right? It's not godly. But hold your place there. It says that because of the blindness of their heart, right? It said, verse 18 again, "having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." And then it says, "who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Lasciviousness. You know, not good, no. It's lust, basically. Okay, in chapter 1, what did it say? In contrast. Contrast chapter 1, verse 18, or verse 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened." The word understanding is heart. It's the word heart. I don't know why they translated it understanding, but it's the word heart. "The eyes of your heart be enlightened." God doesn't want our heart to be darkened. He wants it to be lightened. He wants us to have knowledge and understanding. He doesn't want us to be ignorant, right? He wants us to be wise. He wants us to be smart. He wants us to have understanding. You know, you ever have anybody tell you, well, you just got to have faith? Well, that's a lie, really. And God wants us to understand. Let's go to chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 15. "See then," verse 15, "that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Circumspectly is kind of like, you know, where it said, keep your hearts with all diligence. Circumspectly is being very precise and exact in what you're doing, being vigilant. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, we already know that he wants us to have his understanding. He wants us to know his will. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, where?
In your heart.
To the Lord. What a great thing. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, how important is it to be thankful? Thankful in your heart. You know, that's where it really should be. And let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Everybody knows this verse too. I don't think any of these verses are not familiar. You know, they're all familiar. And there's hundreds and hundreds of other verses about the heart. It says in verse 6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, the peace of God will keep your heart. You know, when you're in tune with God, when you're in fellowship with God, when you're trusting God, when you're believing God, you know, you have peace. Everybody wants peace, don't they? When I think Bobby prayed or was in the one of the manifestations, where all possible, live peacefully with all men. That's not what it's talking about. It's, we have peace with God and we have peace in our hearts. We have peace, you know, we're comfortable with who we are because God is our Father and we're his children. And we'll walk with him. So heart is so important. And, you know, you just got to keep that word there. You got to keep plugging away, being diligent and vigilant to not let it get stolen out of your heart and life. And that's each and every person's own responsibility. Nobody can do it for you. Can remind somebody. That's what I'm doing, right? I'm reminding you. But you have to do it. You have to decide. I'm going to keep that word where it needs to be. I'm going to keep it in my heart. I'm going to stay on top of it. I'm going to make sure that I have that word where it needs to be. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for just showing us what we need to know, how incredible and incredibly important it is to understand your word, to understand and have the wisdom and the knowledge that you desire for us. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for just a wonderful afternoon and a great week ahead that we can just walk for you, that we can glorify you, that we can bless you. You know, we always think about being blessed by you, but we should think more about blessing you in how we live, how we speak, how we act, how we live our lives, because you're the one that really makes it all available. So we thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.